The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good Friday, 8 a.m. Central Time here on the Power Hour. TGIF, thank God it's Friday, or the government is. Put your own F-bomb in there. Several different ways you can say that acronym. We have Christian Elliott on the line with us. And of course, we're going to be talking about deconstructing conventional medicine. Maybe we should call it destroying conventional medicine. I don't even like going to the family doctor anymore. That's how much I trust modern medicine these days, especially after the jabs and everything else that's going on and all of our freedoms and rights and everything taken away. But before we get to that, I want to cover a couple of things. Today is the last day to order 10% off all your North American Urban Spice products this week at the Power Mall, in addition to the White Harvest Heirloom Seed Kits, Willard Water Plant Catalyst, 20% off the Real Anthony Fauci book, which if you haven't or somebody you know hasn't read that book, you probably want to get one and send it to them. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who we've had on the show before, really makes a hard-hitting point multiple times with about 1,230 different references. So, yeah, Fauci's not going to sue him. We also have Silver Shield Sanitizer, 30% off on the Power Hour. And, of course, we talked to you about RickSatelliteUSA.com system. You can send us a snail mail letter along with your donation to P.O. Box 14921, Springfield, Missouri, 65814. And send us a letter also to support at thepowerhour.com if you don't want to send it snail mail. Let us know why you deserve one of RickSatelliteUSA.com systems. We're going to be giving away one to one lucky listener. These are $269. You never have to pay subscription fees. You just install it, point the dish to the south, and go. And you can listen to stations all over the world with the good news, not all the mainstream media crap that's out there now. And, of course, you want to call Rick, ask for any information about it. So it you got to decide whether or not it's worth your while to write that letter, letting us know why you deserve one of them, because Rick's going to pick the winner. You can call him at 816-228-1801. That's RickSatelliteUSA.com. I have another little device I wanted to bring up here. We have six of these at the Power Mall right now. I just took the cap off the top of it. This is what we call Health Point. And, of course, there are complete training videos. And I have a very interesting book in my hot little hand that you see on screen. It's called Mastering Acupuncture. Now, and of course, there is a Health Point Quick Start User Guide and all this other good stuff. And I'm going to show you how simple this is to use. You basically just turn the button on. So see how it lights up? I'm showing you the light out there on the dial. And you basically, on the back side of this thing, you'll see there's a metal grid right here that you actually have to make contact with. And what you do is you are going to hold your hand. And I don't know if you can hear this squealing, but you have to find it. And when you get a high-pitched squeal and the light freezes, you squeeze the button on the front and you're giving yourself an acupuncture treatment. Isn't that something else? Here is a great way, and we have six of them available right now. I want to unload these because I bit the bullet and I bought one. They aren't cheap, but I'm telling you something. You need to explore this and go to the Power Mall. It's open right now, and be one of those lucky six to get one of these things because that's all we have in stock. So it's called Health Point. And we have one here. And like I said, if you want to help yourself and others deal with pain and other chronic conditions and become, mastering acupuncture, get that. Christian, what do you think about stuff like that? Is that cool or what?
Well, it sounds cool. Yeah, there's some amazing new products out there that don't get a lot of press, and that may be one of them. That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
I've not heard of it till today.
Yep. Well, there you go. So deconstructing conventional medicine, I mean, you have truewholehuman.com. And you do a podcast, and you're a personal coaching, a personal coach, actually. You do lifestyle coach, reality coach. I mean, what do you dub what you do?
Yeah, I'm hard to fit into any one box, but the one that
I like that.
That fits me the best is probably health coach. And I've pushed the borders of what that means, and I coach the whole person now. So health is often just the waypoint into getting into coaching. And so That's the main thing people know me for typically.
Yep. That's a square peg into a round hole. Giant right. square peg into a little round hole.
Right. I cover too many topics to be put just in the health coaching box.
Yeah. We can't pigeonhole you at all. And that's a good thing. See, folks, one of the reasons we have Christian on here is because he's been digging into this stuff and digging into health, digging into personal sovereignty, living a life without fear. We're in a situation right now in this country where we are being mentally and physically challenged every which way, and financially challenged, economically challenged. I mean, there isn't one thing that you probably haven't touched base on in some aspect of your coaching. What's probably the thing that jumps out in your mind first and foremost as far as people's concerns?
Oh, man. It's hard to say because it's so individualized. But
I just broad stroke painted that whole thing, didn't I?
I can go anywhere with that.
See if I can keep this guy talking for a half hour.
I may have a diagnosed terminal verbosity, so you may have to stop me at some point if you let me go too long. But yeah, I mean, the journalism realm or the education realm or the banking realm, it doesn't matter which way you wake up. There are things, once you see them, you can't unsee them. And then it starts to make you say, what else do I not know? And for me, that was health a long time ago, which was how I kind of saw through the COVID op and wasn't fooled by it. But what I didn't know was how centralized and how ubiquitous it was in industry in general and how there was a much bigger agenda behind all of that. So, yeah, I can run all over the place depending on where you want to aim me.
Well, no, the thing is, too, and I've got COVID-related news here since you brought it up. The CDC's own data is now showing that the COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness against hospitalization has turned negative over time. In other words, they know that anybody that's got the jab is going to end up in the hospital at some point, the likelihood.
Right. People that got the boosters are even more likely.
That's really sad. And mostly what we're seeing is myocarditis, pericarditis, and a host of other adverse reactions, which we've covered on the show multiple times with frontline doctors who have appeared here. Now the FDA, of course, all these advisors in the FDA, this is an agency that's basically running reckless, does what it wants, same with the CDC, and they unanimously recommended that updated COVID-19 shots being developed for a fall vaccination campaign target one of the currently dominant XBB coronavirus variants. And to me, this is still a joke.
Yeah. I wonder how much they really think they're going to get more people to take that. There's a segment of the population still in a trance, but the uptake on the latest boosters was paltry. Last I knew, it was like 11%. So I don't know who they think is going to be taking these shots.
Yeah, I don't either. And the bigger problem is now at the end of June, Rochelle Walensky is leaving the CDC, and former North Carolina health boss, Dr. Mandy Cohen, is going to be taking her place. Nothing is going to change. They're still going to lie to us, aren't they?
No, they are professional liars. If you've been watching any of the congressional testimonies, they're word salads and they don't say anything. It's a great exercise in how to not answer questions. So I have no expectations at the federal level that any big changes are coming anytime soon.
So, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, when we've had Dr. Kerry Mate, Dr. Dave Martin, and other people on this program, the word is always the same. And trying to get people to come out and admit that this is an effort to depopulate the world, and they're going, oh, well, Dave, you can't say that. I mean, we're not going to that extreme. I'm like, when is reality going to set in? I mean, you're a student of reality. Has it set in your world?
It absolutely has set in, and it's so uncomfortable to entertain that people actually live and think and behave that way. And once you are willing to say, is that possible? The evidence is so overwhelming that there is a segment, there's a globalist cult who thinks it is their job to rule the world and they know better than the rest of us. And it falls to them for whatever sick, twisted narrative they make up in their head. It's their job to save the planet and forge the world into their view of what's right. And their view is there's way too many of us. I don't know how many times Bill Gates has been on TV talking about how many problems there are with overpopulation. There's a people group who think they need to get rid of a lot of us, whether that's a form of atheistic satanic worship or whether that's just business. There's probably a collection of a lot of things, but it is a sick globalist cult that is trying to get rid of a lot of humanity.
And so we know this, and a lot of us have realized it, and a lot of us are, well, so what can we do about it? You see, that's where personal coaching comes in. And for those of you listening to us between 7 and 9 Central Time, that would be 8 and 10 a.m. on the East Coast. Our phone lines are open at 844-769-2944. If you want to talk to a life coach, a student of reality, Christian Elliott is here with us on the Power Hour. You are welcome to call in if you've got questions or you need some advice or anything like that. I mean, we're talking about deconstructing conventional medicine. We all have had a very difficult time now going to a doctor because every time we go, the chance or the risk is there. Have you had the shot yet? Have you taken the vaccine yet? And you're like, man, I know about this. What do I do? I mean, the doctor won't treat me unless it's like, no, I visited grandma on Thanksgiving and I didn't take the jab and neither did she. And we had a fine Thanksgiving dinner. Thank you very much. Don't sit there and try and brainwash me with that hogwash. Then you get into a tit for tat and the doctor has actually, I've heard cases, Christian, where the doctor has actually fired the patient.
Yeah, well, and I would fire the doctor. Like, there's,
yeah,
it's the reverse. Like, I had to take my dad into the hospital at one point during this whole sham, and I knew going in that I braced for, hoping I didn't need to, but hoping I wouldn't have a fight on my hands, and I ended up with one. And so, one of the things I did was I took a picture of the patient bill of rights before I went into the scenario, and so I had that ready on my phone should I need it. And so, sure enough, at some point there, my dad's oxygen levels are low and they're putting a mask on him. And so I went in and I said, please explain to me how this is helping a man who has low oxygen levels. Can we put a meter under his mask and let's take a reading and let's see if this is a good idea? They didn't appreciate that much. And so they tried to get me to leave. And I said, I pulled up my phone. I held the patient bill of rights in their face. And I said, I am his advocate. By the law, you have to deal with me. So let's figure this out. And we, you know, the short version is they gave us our own room and we got to take off the stupid mask and we got the help we needed. But it was combative to be in the hospital, to be, you'd think you're there because somebody's trying to help you. And sure enough, there's an agenda and there is a scared staff who is fearful of who knows what comes down from above them. They're fearful for their job. And if you don't do what they say, they're going to give you pushback and they're not used to having someone stand up to them. And the more of us that do that, the more we create that own friction in their own head to help them have the ethical quandary of what are we doing? And you won't win all of them, but we do have to be somewhat forceful in our arguing for our own rights in order to get care we need. And a lot of the time, for my money, the last place I'm going is the hospital. And once we understand how that system works, there are much better options out there and we just need to find them.
Yeah, I agree. And see, after having emceed the Halt Hospital Homicide Convention in San Antonio March 25th and seeing all the families of victims up there crying while they're giving testimony as to the same treatment that your father got when you took him there, now we have people out there with these legal forms that are already there that if you know they're going to the hospital, you need to sign these forms. Do not sign a DNR. That is not what they're there for. We have doctors that are arbitrarily signing DNRs on behalf of the patient. Do not resuscitate orders. And this is why Scott Shara is suing St. Elizabeth's Hospital up in Appleton, Wisconsin, for murdering his daughter with a three-drug cocktail. So, yes. You know, and he and his attorney have been on the show before. But see, not everybody is that lucky. And they still, because you're saying the same thing that a lot of America's in a trance right now. And if they go to the hospital, it's like, you know, a hospital. What is it? Well, it's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now. Remember that one-liner from Airplane with Leslie Nielsen? You know, I'm just like, look, we don't know what to expect now when we go to a hospital. It's one thing to go to, and this is something that if it's critical care, that you need, like it's an emergency, like you cut yourself or you're out there cutting wood and the axe slips and you cut your leg open and you don't have the guts to inject yourself with lidocaine hydrochloride 5%. Like, who's got that around? That's a class 3 controlled substance in the first place. But if you don't have any way to numb the surface and then you don't have a suture kit, which a lot of us who are prepared do, and you can't deal with gunshot wounds and you can't deal with open wounds, then you got to go to a walk-in clinic somewhere and have an ER physician look at you. I would say that you're probably a little safer in those places than a hospital. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely it maybe less bureaucratic, less forceful with their agenda, but for my money, like the reason I talk about deconstructing conventional medicine is where did we get the idea this was even conventional in the first place? And there are so much better ways to approach our health. And yes, if you need you go to an urgent care for some sort of trauma or emergency, that makes some sense. But beyond that realm, for general sickness, for chronic or degenerative diseases, that is the last place you'd want to go. But once you understand, how did they claim this title? How did they fool the public into thinking this was the best way to approach health? And how did they systematically stamp out every form of competition? There's a history to that. And once you understand where that came from, that is an ugly history, and it changes your perception of the option to use allopathic, which is other suffering form of medicine. It takes the suffering you have, it layers on a different sort of suffering, so you don't notice the original symptom you have. And they hope that mix will somehow let your body have time to heal, and they send you out the door. They've done nothing to actually treat the cause. And once that sinks in, we're plugging into a system that is cut, burn, and poison, then maybe we should think about other options and not use them for anything they're not good at, which, you know, if I get hit by a bus or I tear my ACL, I want to go see an MD. Other than that, they have nothing to offer me. And it's harsh for some of them to hear it that way because it feels like we're attacking them. It's just I'm trying to get at the paradigm of health that most people don't think to question. And we've been so stuck in this enlightenment reductionist biochemistry goo. And it's hard to get it off of us because we think that that's what you do. You just zoom in and science is going to save it. And science and reductionism in particular cannot study synergy. It doesn't have a category for symbiosis. It doesn't have a category for building health. It just has a category for treatment of symptoms. And that we have so been numbed over the years to think I'm not smart enough to know how to handle my own health because I'm not an expert. I haven't studied this, that, or the other. Therefore, I need somebody who has. And we're stuck in a system where they only think one way, and we don't recognize that that's the plot that we are a part of. And once we figure that out, it's so much easier to be discerning, to look for things like what you just pointed out with the acupuncture wand there. There are other things we can do, and some of them have so much more promise and efficacy than what we find wrestling with combating symptoms and adding symptoms to symptoms and then playing symptom whack-a-mole with medications and surgeries and other things like that.
Well, now that you're talking about medications, Christian.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you turn on the TV set and watch anything of any consequence or value to you on TV in between every commercial break, there's a big pharma ad. And I mean, people are being brainwashed and they're basically, I think, being self-induced to self-diagnose. Mm-hmm. And oh, I need that. That's why they go, ask your doctor about Cymbalta.
Right.
And see, what 25% of the country is on some sort of antidepressant now?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And that is if you study the history of the psychiatry industry, that will also turn your stomach. Just take what you know about pharmaceuticals from the COVID era and apply that to psychiatry, and it's more of the same thing. They are the arsonist and the firefighter. They send you the commercial to tell you that you have this problem, and then they induce more fear, and then they get you on a medication that makes you worse, and you're stuck on it forever. Or they'll do that with, Bayer bought a food company and Monsanto. And then they make crappy food that makes you sick, and they send you to the drugs for the symptom of what makes you sick. They get you well enough, just enough to go back on the food. And it's a virtuous, in their mind, cycle of business. It's Darwinian capitalism at its finest that cares nothing for you. And if we are able to entertain that there's evil in here, there's greed, there's just basic, sometimes it's, we didn't know how bad this was going to be, but now that it's profitable, we'll argue for it. But at the end of the day, there is so much that is making us worse, and they're telling us it's making us better. And they drug ads is an easy way to do it. And I think we're one of two countries, I think it's us and New Zealand, the only ones where you can advertise direct to consumer. And they show you these commercials like everyone's on permanent vacation, loving life. And you tend to not hear the long list of possible side effects like death and blindness and on that are possible if you take these medications in the hospitals. And medications that are properly prescribed are one of the leading causes of death. Never mind drug interactions or misprescribed drugs or surgeries you didn't need and things like that. There are so many ways that our system is not working for us. And as we start to deconstruct that and see it for what it is, we can make more informed decisions. But you have to, unfortunately, go looking for that information. You have to ask who's got the money and who's funding whatever study that I'm looking at. And then to David Martin's point, what patents are involved? He says, if you follow the patents, you'll find the money. Right. That's how that's
exactly right. That's what Dave Martin told me. So I met the man. I know exactly how he thinks. And so if we don't pay attention to what's going on, then we basically just leave it up to modern medicine to dictate how we live our lives. And see, the bigger problem that a lot of us have, and especially this audience, Christian, is a lot of us are of Medicare age and we're drawing Medicare. And we're constantly getting billed monthly fees for something that we're afraid to use because we're not trusting modern medicine now, and we're trapped in this insurance scam.
Yeah.
There's no end in sight. I mean, you drop out of Medicare, and then what happens if you have a severe attack or an emergency where it's life-threatening and you can't get treatment because you're not insured at all? Then what happens?
Yeah, well, that is a multi-generational, a multi-decade plan to rope us into systems that we would be stuck in. And when you understand the sinister nature of that, then it's on us to say, how do we disentangle from that? And there isn't one easy answer to that. There are, you know, health sharing plans where you can share medical bills. And that's what my wife and I do. We have a system where if we have a need, then we pay, and somebody comes in and pays the bill for us. And we're constant every month, our money that we spend goes to someone else who has a need. And so there are ways out of that system, but there are calculated ways to get out of that system. And it takes a while. I can't remember the last time I went to a medical doctor for anything. Doctors I go to, but most of the doctors I go to, I pay for because they're worth it.
Yeah. Well, see, and now I'm going to ask you, what's the name of the health share system you're on?
It's Samaritan's Ministries. So there's several of them. There's probably about half a dozen really good ones where
you said Samaritans, T-A-N-S?
Samaritans, like the Good Samaritan.
Oh, Samaritan. Good Samaritan. Okay.
Samaritan's Ministries. Yep. So there's some that are, they like Samaritans, they require that you be part of a church, and it's Christians that are sharing their healthcare needs. But there are other ones that there's several that do this, and it's a brilliant way. It harkens back to the era of this erased history, which is also part of deconstructing conventional medicine, of the mutual aid societies that were flourishing in this country in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that there were thousands of these, and some of them had hundreds of thousands of members, and they were a group of people, typically immigrants with a similar, you know, background and moral compass, and they would get together, and for a day's wage, you'd get a year's worth of benefits, and one of them was access to doctors and healthcare, and that was systematically legislated out of existence. It was infiltrated, and the big egregious thing they were doing was creating competitions for a monopolistic approach to healthcare. And thus they were vilified and attacked from every angle, similar to how they've done, you know, the Rockefellers and others have done it for decades. They have taken these, and most people don't even know what mutual aid societies are or were. I've mentioned that to a few people who are, I would consider awake, and they said, oh, communism doesn't work. I'm like, which this shows even more how brilliantly they were able to erase that. But they were pulling people out of poverty, and you know, quackery became the euphemism for competition. They would just label everything, similar to how they label us today with whatever racism and homophobe or whatever else they want. They just keep repeating the label of quackery in order to poo-poo and push these societies out of existence. And slowly, they were successful. And we don't have sharing of medical bills anymore. We don't have a community to fall back on that can lift the load when we have a heavy one and we need some help. And it's up to us to reclaim that. So there are definitely ways to do it. And we just need to be proactive looking for them. And we need the innovators to innovate and help us figure out how to do it.
Well, I'm going to throw another thing at you here. Since we're having that conversation, I'm going to stay in that vein for a second. There are some doctors who actually have gotten away from the practices because see, what the doctors are doing now is they're all ganging up into a practice and becoming a limited partnership or a PC, which is professional corporation. The cost of their insurance is going up. And now people are looking to concierge medicine. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed a number of doctors breaking away and going out on their own and actually doing the right thing for their patients, by their patients?
Yeah, there are no shortage of doctors who actually take the Hippocratic Oath seriously, who aren't afraid. And typically those are going to be the ones that are in private practice. Those are going to be the ones who have less chains and less to lose when it comes to business and making a living. And so But that certainly isn't the majority of them. But doctors who have, you know, concierge medicine, or who give you a, whether it's a monthly or annual fee to just have access to them, I think that's more the model we're going to need to shift to. And then hopefully we can start having the philosophical conversations of which doctors, what kind of medicine, and why this, and where can I get the needs I have actually met. And for somebody who's an innovator, it's a wild west and it's a beautiful land of endless opportunity, who wants to go innovate and create a better solution. And the more of us come together, the better, because none of us are as smart as all of us. And if you get doctors who really take their oath seriously, and they don't have a God complex that their way is the only way, and they're willing to integrate and work with different disciplines, you can have some profoundly helpful new innovations in the world of medicine or being a doctor and redefining what that actually means. So I think it's exciting to see where all of that goes, but we are going to get bite from the people who want the system. This does not go away without confrontation, and we have to be okay with that. We have to be willing to stand on principle and say, we believe in a better way to do it, and we are going to take our lumps learning how to set up a better system. And I think we have more than a critical mass of doctors who are excited to do that. And we just need to keep giving them courage and pay for their services so they'll continue to be able to do what they're doing.
Well, and the other thing too is, you know, this thing you say about confrontation. Many of us have doctors out there like dutifully, oh, it's been 5 years now, you're over 65, and so we have to do that colonoscopy. It's like, look, doc, I know my body better than you do. I haven't been having any problems down there at all. I have regular constitutionals. I don't have those issues. Why do you want to stick a tube up my butt? So you can make money? Is that what this is all about, an insurance grab? Why do you feel obligated to do that when I don't? Do you think I would know my own body better versus just not showing up at the clinic or just walking out of the doctor's appointment saying, screw you, I've had it, I'm not doing it?
Yeah, well, there's different ways to think about that. One is, at a systems level, think, because the medical community at large, I'm not pointing fingers at any one doctor, but the medical community does not think about health. It's weird to think of it that way. They think about symptoms. So one of their services is to look for symptoms. So that's what they do. They can't bill your insurance if you don't come in and do an investigation to see if you have some symptoms. They can't bill your insurance if they don't find something to treat. So you don't go to the doctor and get a prescription for preventative health. You go there when something's broken down. That's the model that we're stuck in the, you know, from what I understand about Chinese medicine, you pay the doctor when you're well, and they don't get paid when you're sick. It's a very different way to approach health, and you don't need a camera up your butt. You don't need your regular mammogram. You know if you're feeling healthy, and your body will tell you, it will manifest symptoms, and you can make a case that it's better preventative to find those things. But then you say, well, is the machine itself, is there a trauma coming from using that machine? And when you start investigating that, it makes the colonoscopies and the mammograms a lot less attractive.
There you go. Christian Elliott is on the phone with us right now. Actually, if you're watching us on video streaming, you can see us live here. We will also be on BitChute, Rumble, and Bridey on afterwards. We're going to actually upload the program so you can watch us live. If you miss it, you can share it with your friends. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue, formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health, as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients, such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle Tooth soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle Tooth products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle Tooth skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle Tooth moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle Tooth products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or other like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Yes, friends.
Power to the people.
And you are my friends.
Power to the people.
Yeah, I gotta have a little plastic on
the
band.
Power to the people.
I like it. Yeah, we're doing it here.
Power to the people.
We can just play that the rest of the hour.
Yeah, I know. We pretty much could. Yes, isn't it right, John?
Yes, sir. Of course.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, Christian Elliott's on the phone with us, and if you want to watch us live, like I said, we'll be on Rumble, BitChute, and Brighteon. And, of course, for those of you that are, you know, into health, we have your last day to order 10% off of all of the North American Urban Spice products this week. If you want to call us up, the Power Mall is open right now. While you're on there, like I said, we only have 6 of these devices left. These are the Health Point devices. This is kind of like giving yourself acupuncture. We only have 6 of them left. When they're gone, they're gone. So we want you to have one. There's all sorts of training manuals and videos and stuff that you can use. Who knows, you know, if you can help your family member out or anything with whatever ails you, this is the thing to do. We're all having to, I think now, Christian, take responsibility for our own medical conditions.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's why we go to the Power Mall and we shop there, because we get supplements from the Power Mall that keep us healthy, because that's the name of the game right now. I mean, we can't exist in society unless we are. And those who were, I think, stupid enough, because you sound like a Christian, that's your name. Mm-hmm. The thing is that if we trusted God instead of the government, you know, this is the thing. They trusted the government, and now many of them are dying. And there are the weak in the flock. We call them sheeple. Mm. You know, it's like, gee, you just had the jab. How was it? Not bad. You know, the bigger problem is, and that's why people listen to the show, because I like to make fun of everything, including our government. But the thing is that people, out there, you can't reason with them. It's like, you're not coming over because you're going to kill grandma if you don't have the jab. And it's like, no, you don't understand. You've been brainwashed by a government that you put all your faith and trust in. You sit on your butt and you wait for the government to do something to help you. It's not going to happen. We are way past that point now. Do you think more and more people are starting to wake up, or you think most of the nation is still in a state of lull and disbelief?
Yeah, so I can comment on that from a few different angles. One is just, I think the traffic is one direction. I don't think people are saying, you know what, I've never trusted pharma, but now I do. Like, I can't see that happening. So I think most of the traffic is one way. And I think we've moved past a critical mass of people. If you just look at the stats of how many people no longer trust the media, trust pharmaceuticals, will take any more shots, those numbers are significantly higher. It was like, 2-3% of people were quote-unquote anti-vaxxers before COVID, and now it's a gigantic portion. There is so much more skepticism. And because it's coming at us so forcefully from so many angles, you're bound to wake up more people. I think the pressure at which, or the pace at which they are forcing a narrative right now, is a sign that they are losing it. They're trying to squeeze the jello and it's slipping through their fingers. The more they squeeze it, the more people get away. The more we wake up and say, something is off here. And there's a felt sense, whether there's courage to articulate it or not, that I don't buy this anymore. And because it's so everywhere and so forceful, and we have taken anything that used to be taboo or sacred, and we're just trying to make nothing sacred and nothing taboo anymore. And you can only squeeze a society like that for so long before we do say, enough, this is, I no longer trust you. And so I do think we have a movement, and I really get my kicks on saying, how would I reach that movable middle? How would I reach the people? Like, what questions, what arresting thought could I kindly put out there? And it's fun for me to not just label them sheep and say, you're dumb. And yes, there's people who aren't going to get it, and they're stubborn, and they dig their heels in, and they will, you know, plug their ears. I don't want to hear this. But there are people who, if you kindly let them talk and zing them with the right question, that will bounce around in their head for a while. It does become the fly in the ointment of the paradigm they're working so hard to hold together. And eventually they get to the point where they say, I can't unsee that now. And if I'm just willing to entertain, let me do the thought experiment of walking around and looking at the world through this lens. And when they do that, boy, oh boy, you can't say this doesn't make sense. It makes more sense than all the different narratives. And you just trust Fauci to, or whoever, to give you the next narrative. So you can go, oh, Hugh, now I know what's going on. It's you can't hold that together for very long. And so figuring out how to get them to the point, or to what questions to ask, which threads to pull on, that's so person specific. But I do think we're winning at that.
Yeah. Did you study Deborah Birx's tell-all book?
Oh, my gosh.
Where she admitted all this stuff that they did. Mm-hmm. They just flat out lied to people about the mask, about the jab, about the 6-foot distancing, about the 15 days to stop the spread. Then it turned into 30. Then it turned into 60. And now the White House is even wanting us to wear masks. Mm-hmm. When you visit the White House, it's like, and I have a reason to visit the White House. Why? Right. So the deviant in the White House can sniff my hair? I don't think so.
Right.
I have a real problem with this guy. He's a jerk. He's got a mental acuity of office furniture, and his sidekick isn't much better. That's why I call her Chlamydia Harris, because she's a disease. See, and now she's going after gun manufacturers again, folks. Didn't know if you knew that or not. I mean, this is really, they're trying to attack our sovereign beings. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of us out there that think like that. 844-769-2944. If you've got a question to chime in, Christian Elliott is on the phone. We go to Sherry in Kansas. Go ahead.
Good morning. Sir, are you familiar with Aladdin's case back in, this was way back in the 2000 decade. He discovered in the 1906, they passed some kind of pharmaceutical act.
The Pure Food and Drug Act, yes.
Yes. And he discovered that it was the way the things were listed was for man and other animals. Are you familiar with that part of it?
I'm not sure I know the man and animals part of it, but I am familiar with the Pure Food and Drug Act of 1906. And that was really where they set up the FDA and a lot of the regulatory apparatus to attempt to tell us what's real and what's not, and to give the luminous garment of science, this quasi-scientific way of telling us everything's safe. And it's been a lot of downhill since then.
Yeah, the premise of this case was that the FDA in Texas, the equivalent, came after this company that was producing colloidal silver. And it was a friend of Al's, apparently, and he got put into the case because he was helping this guy with his legal work. But in researching that, he discovered it was they considered man on the same par with animals. And so he used a religious defense, and he tied him up. The government of Texas spent about $500,000, I think, defending this or trying to get him, and they couldn't do it. But it was real interesting. Do you know when the licensure of doctors came in?
There's medical licensing laws that were being put in place in the late 1800s, and so they started using that. And then another big turning point was the Flexner Report that came out in 1910. And that it was an attempt to do is to centralize and to tell us who's a doctor and who's not. And it was a way to stamp out any competition. And so the only, medical profession that got funding, that got approval stamps, was ended up being Rockefeller, Western, the scientific, allopathic pill for every ill, and it standardized medicine. So those are really two big things. And the centralization or the licensing became a way they even broke up the mutual aid societies. And so that is an ugly history. But if you go study the Flexner Report from 1910,
right,
that'll tell you a lot about how this came together. Yeah.
Yeah, the other thing is that I've heard a lot of researchers look into it like you're doing, say that the AMA is nothing more than a union thing for doctors, comparable to a union thing, and that they really shouldn't have the kind of governmental backing that they have, but yet they're given this quasi-governmental status. Would you agree to that?
If you just look at what was going on, what's transpiring at that time, you basically understand that there were monopolists who cannot have enough control. They want to control everything. And so for them, whatever institutions they have to set up, whatever politicians they have to buy, whatever media press they have to pay for, that's what they do. And so my education was largely in the health realm, but it really spills over into every industry that they were trying to control and centralize. And so Rockefeller made the brilliant move of painting himself as a philanthropist after he became the most hated person in the world. He went and started the American Cancer Society. And so his funding and Carnegie's and others went to all of the things that they could then control. And so whether it's the American Medical Association, whether it's any journal or institution, they basically, as they've done today, we just see it on steroids today, they have partnered with and more or less captured governments and regulatory agencies, and they pay for journals. There's hardly any journals left that are actually objective in doing real science. They're just marketing arms for the agenda, for centralized control. And as you start to see that the matrix glitch, you see that reality weaving itself through all the institutions that are propped up in the media as authoritative, yet lets you approach it with a lens of skepticism, and you can start with distrust but verify now, and you can go look for where is this institution weaponized against us. And so yeah, it's a long answer to your question about the American Medical Association, but it's just another marketing arm, in my opinion, of that agenda. And it's not to say there's nobody ethical or they're not trying to do good medicine or anything like that. It's just to say the institution, similar to the FDA or CDC or anything else, they're captured agencies, and they have been for a very long time.
Yeah, that's the one thing that, Sherry, I appreciate your call, by the way. The one thing that I noticed though, that when I deal with these frontline doctors, is that they, a lot of them are being attacked by the very thing that Sherry is talking about right now, mm-hmm. the AMA and the state medical boards, because they're trying to do the right thing and follow the Hippocratic Oath. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you that the profession, because it is, they've shifted it over time. The family doctor is a remnant. It's a lost art. We don't have that anymore. We have doctor's offices where you go into the system they've created is it's all based on insurance. It's all based on codes. And you go to the doctor and you get 5 or 10 minutes of half listening and a pill. And they've squeezed them to such a degree. They don't have time to spend with patients. The system doesn't reward them for that. And so when you centralize or you get enough of the system stuck in that model where they can't practice medicine, they can't spend time with patients, they can't actually get to know the person and what's going on in their life, they can't understand the family that this person's a part of or the mental emotional state they're in, all you're left with is CPT codes and you're left with insurance companies you can bill or not bill, and you're left with approved medicines based on what the journals. The doctors have no time to read all that stuff. They're factories. And once that you have a profession captured in that way of thinking, then you can nudge them any way you want. Then you can attack them. Then you can vilify them, because the vast majority of people are stuck. Their paycheck depends upon them not seeing the system they're in that's broken. So yes, it's weaponized against them on purpose over time. And they're doing that with several industries, but yeah, medicine has been the most egregious.
But look at it this way, Christian. I mean, these doctors went to medical school, and see, I was there. I was in that mix at one time, mm-hmm. and I saw it for myself. And a lot of people are seeing the end result because these doctors have lots and lots of student loans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they spend a lot of time away from the family and getting education. And it's crazy because that's where the indoctrination actually starts,
right?
Is by people who are already in this system that are already brainwashed, reindoctrinating or indoctrinating all these individuals coming into the system that think, hey, all I got to do is get my medical license and I can become a millionaire. Yeah. That's not true. That is
not at all. And if, when you understand that there's a system, like I'll use a parallel example and come back to this one. Because the military uses push-ups, sit-ups, and a run. Or if you're a Marine, you get to do pull-ups. That is a terrible gauge of how fit someone is. But that's what they use. And they keep using it because they've all had to do it. They've all had to go through the same boot camp and pass the same tests. And medicine is the same way. Residency is one of the worst ways to become good at anything. It's a sleep-deprived situation where you go into and you're trying to become good at something, and you're working 24-hour shifts or 12-hour shifts or 16-hour shifts, and it's days and it's nights. It's back and forth. And of course you're going to make mistakes. But we keep doing the same dumb system of grooming doctors or bringing them up into their profession because the previous doctors had to do it. And on and on. It's like this rite of passage you're stuck with to get into a profession. So you can have six figures of school debt, a big piece of paper to hang on the wall, and you can wear a white coat and a stethoscope around your neck. There are better ways to do this. And the system doesn't want you to question it. They only groom you in pharmacology. And doctors will tell you, they maybe get a 45-minute lecture on nutrition. It's like the backwards science for people who aren't smart enough for medical school is how it's sold to them. And it's a shame because that's what heals people way more than any chemical cocktail you could put in the body to tinker with and accelerate, suppress, or replace a bodily function. So yeah, that system, as soon as we start thinking about it, and to my point, deconstructing what are we doing and why are we doing it this way, it makes no sense that we would train doctors to go through that crucible and then launch them into it where they hadn't had time to think. They're just indoctrinated.
Well, see, and I, you know, what I've done in the past when a lot of these, we already knew about the blowback of the COVID and the jabs and everything else and the mask wearing and go to the clinic. There have been multiple times where we've gone into the clinic and everybody's wearing a mask and where's your mask? Mm-hmm. I don't have one. Well, here, we'll give you one. No, you know what? I'm going to cancel my appointment, turn around and walk out.
Yeah.
I'm not putting up with this. And you let them know right then and there, enough's enough. These masks are from China. They have titanium dioxide in them. It's not good to breathe that stuff in. I'm surprised more doctors don't have lung issues as a result of wearing these things in the OR constantly. They don't even wear them all the time. I know what the sterile field is. You people, none of this makes any sense. Haven't you read Russell Blaylock's studies? I mean, the thing is that if people don't start doing their own medical research, they don't have any way to argue the point. Wouldn't you think that would be more logical, is to just study this stuff?
Well, it would, but that logic and emotion don't always Yeah. They don't always work. If my paycheck is attached to following orders, and I don't know how I'm going to feed my family, I'm going to follow orders even if it doesn't make sense. And that's our military stuck in that, our medical profession stuck in that. There's so many different industries that have been captured, but journalism, same thing. And it takes bravery, and it's been telling. We now have a case study of how few of us are actually brave and willing to stand up. And yet that's the only way this changes is with courage and with confrontation. And so we can, as to your point, as a population, say, no, thank you. I opt out. And kindly mock them, and not in a piercing way, but just in a way that's, you realize this doesn't make any sense, right? You think this, especially in cold weather, put a mask on and breathe out. Do you think that stopped anything? Like, you could see the vapor go everywhere. There's nothing about that was protective, and we all know it, but I have to follow orders, and there's a, you know, one in a billion chance it might help something. And so it's not. And so can we give them enough pushback to where they can see the mirror held up to them, and over time, give them the courage to say enough is enough, and encourage them to look for ways to ethically rebuild medicine, different professions to get into, whatever. Stop with the show, and let's get back to being a more civil society. But that's going to be the long game, and it's going to take us a while to get there.
Civil society, Christian?
No, we're not even close. I mean, regressing currently.
You drive down the road, and you look over at the light, and you see a guy with a mask on in the car driving by himself, and it's like, oh, I see a case of hypoxia coming on. That is a term I have for those kinds of people that drive around with masks on called COVIDiots. And they're going to get in a COVAccident because they're going to pass out at the wheel. And a lot of them are ones that are completely brainwashed that believe everything the government does. And in order to, I mean, this goes to everything that you have been saying about sovereignty and about your rights as a human being facing a medical system that is this corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and if I can soften it a little bit there, I can call somebody a blind sheep, COVIDian cult member, and they can call me a conspiracy theorist, and we're just lock horns. We don't get anywhere. Or I can put my sword down. I can stop calling you names, and I can try to understand you. I can look at the guy in the car who's wearing his mask and just have compassion for him rather than judgment and harshness to him. So that it's harder to walk around in that when we are barraged with it. And we're in the angry stage of waking up. If we're angry, we're not at our best. And if we can get anger is not a bad emotion. This is what you do with it, right? If you can use it to fuel you to make change or to think and be ready to actually do something and solve problems, it can fuel you for good. So recognize if you're in the anger stage because some of this is finally coming to light and it's just ticking you off, you're allowed. Right away, finish it and then get back on rational ground and let's make a difference here because we have to be able to talk to these people.
Well, see, and the thing is that a lot of this is our own family members. We have locked horns with people in our own family. Half of them are libtards and the other half, there I go with the name calling again. But this is the thing. All of the callers, everybody that calls into the show has very similar circumstances where the families are alienated against them. What they don't all understand is this is by design. And the more that you explain to them that they're trying to break up the family unit, if it's not through this COVID nonsense, it's through trying to get to our kids and tell them, you're really a boy or you're really a girl. You're not the sex that you're supposed to be. We need to cut off your breasts and cut off everything else, too, while we're at it. You know, let's tell you what, we'll give you puberty blockers and you can have an addictomy. How would that be? We can turn you into a boy. How would that? I mean, look at now Kaiser Permanente, as everybody's getting sued because of this bad advice that they're giving kids that really the parents need to get a handle on this and stop worshiping Satan, because this is exactly what we have going on here is a spiritual war for our children's minds. Don't we? Yes. Isn't it?
It is definitively that. And I would challenge anybody. There's a great thinker in the health space who I respect significantly. And he sent out an email a couple of years ago that said, we have to realize that no one and nothing is against us. And I'm like, oh gosh, you just lost me. Like, we are up against sick, depraved evil. There are forces out there that want to take your stuff, kill you, and torture your children. We are at war. And if you don't like that, too bad. We are. So we don't need to pretend that this isn't sick, that this isn't motivated by pure evil. There's a segment of the population that delights in hurting people. They delight in carnage, that it's fun for them. So they laugh at our suffering, and they're immune to feeling any sort of empathy for it. And those people have a lot of power these days. They are motivated by pure evil to come steal, kill, and destroy. And that is their MO. And when you're willing to say, okay, that's what's happening, if we can face this, I think God can fix it. Like, but we can't fix it if we're not willing to face it. So we have to lean into accepting that evil's out there, that is prowling and is trying to take us down. Once we can accept that, we can find our way back to solid ground, and we can begin to fight in the way that we are able to, with where we are, with the skills we have and the battles we feel called to. But some of us have to go after the strongholds. And to me, the biggest one is the biggest question that nobody or fewer people than I would like seem to be aimed at is, who controls the money supply, or more precisely, who controls what money is? Until we break that stranglehold, they can fund whatever the heck they want. And they can just keep paying people to do whatever agenda they want to force on us. And we have to recognize that and take back our freedom.
There you have it. Christian Elliott, thank you so much for joining us here on the Power Hour. We are out of time for this segment of the show. In the meantime,
thank you for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And the good luck. And hopefully if you want to go to truewholehuman.com, and that's where you can find Christian Elliott. If you have other questions or future comments or whatnot, he also has a podcast out there. Dave Krieger with you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We will be back on Juneteenth. Oh, my. Yeah, we're going to talk about slavery. Yeah, this is a classic example of what we've just been talking about here. But in the meantime, stay safe. Keep your powder dry. We'll see you on Monday. God bless you, and God bless what's left of the United States of America. See you later.
Harmful organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the OregaResp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier. And I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.